I was looking at Brandon's class number, which of course is 256. That means that 256 classes of Phoenix Regional Police Academy have graduated. Bob was telling me that he believed his number was about 56 or 57. Looking back, I think mine was 9 or 2 or something like that. I can't quite remember. It was in 72, so of course that had been quite a few years ago. I'm sure you're very interested in that, but I thought I would just mention it. You're thrilled to hear that, I'm sure. Little things like that tend to provoke my thinking and try to arrest my memory, and I try to kick it out of memory center, and I get nothing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. This morning we dealt with the fact that, as Bob reminded you, that there were two basic areas of learning for the believer in Christ: the University of Bible Doctrine. The potentiality of that is going from 0% at the point of regeneration to 100%. And, of course, that would be tantamount to the believer having reached the top grade of his progression in this life, and certainly preparing him for blessing and reward at the judgment seat of Christ. A few things I didn't mention regarding the school of hard knocks. I gave you the basic statistic that you can go from 0 to about 30%, but unfortunately, the whole learning process is just one continuation of punitive suffering upon punitive suffering. You see, the believer that learns through the school of hard knocks is only learning because he is constantly being disciplined. Whereas the believer who has learned from the University of Bible Doctrine will be disciplined on occasion, as any believer will, because he gets out of fellowship, but he spends a considerable amount of time learning from the University of Doctrine, and as, again, Bob suggested, whether it be University Bible Doctrine 101, or whether it be University Bible Doctrine 404, or even postgraduate, as you move into, for example, from super grace to ultra super grace, or whether you move on from there into the most magnificent, where you as a believer have the opportunity to actually pass on from this life as a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say just die because of the cause. That's something altogether different. I've mentioned it enough times. For those of you that have done any reading on Fox's Book of Martyrs, you will probably note that about 90% of them should have been called Fox's Book of Losers. They didn't die the martyr's death. They just simply died because of their antagonism, or they were just simply victims of the antagonism of others regarding Christians during the time in which they lived. Remember that not every believer that dies the martyr's death. Paul died a martyr. The martyr is only one who has reached at least the first level of maturity. Not just having died as an immature believer, because that, of course, in my thinking, is contrary to the advancement of the believer. How can you advance if you're dead? So in some cases, it would be the sin unto death. So I would say that if you're going to understand martyrdom, you have to understand the doctrine of maturity. And of course, that's where all of us hopefully are pressing on to the mark 2 and 4. We also began, as a part of this, some of the areas of testing. You should have this as a preliminary to our study. No believer ever advances without momentum tests. No believer ever advances without momentum tests. A momentum test is simply to see whether or not because of that which has been made available to you as a result of that which you have learned from God's Word, if it works. The test is simply an indication that God expects you to pass. And you see, when you apply one of the 10 problem-solving devices, or one of the areas of biblical truth contained within the 10 problem-solving devices, to a given situation, i.e. test, you pass. And that's how you advance. I don't think it's hard for you to understand, because we've been talking this evening, for example, about a Phoenix Regional Police Academy graduation, class 256, among whom we have a member of our church, one of our deacons, and he has passed the course. And on Friday, the 4th, there will be not only the graduation exercises, but a part of that is where, and I believe the wives are given that privilege, at least in the past that was the case, or sweethearts, or anybody you happen to bring, to pin the badge, as it were, on like the wings and so on at graduation. Are you going to have that honor, Maria? Don't you know? Okay. They may not do it. You know, they just may hand them the badge. I don't know. Now, when I went, I was at the Glendale Police Department, and I was already certified as a reserve, and therefore I already had my badge. When you got yours, did they pin it up? No, they gave it to you. Okay, they probably gave it to him. Does he have a badge? Oh, see? You may get the honor of doing that, my dear. Think about it. Then again, the chief might. If you do, just here's how you do it. You open it up like this, all right, and there's a rather long pin, and then you just stick it into his chest. And then say, "I love you, dear," and watch him standing at attention going like that. Ours was in July during the day, in the heat of the day, in full dress uniform. Then that evening, of course, they had the exercise, or later on in the evening, and it was kind of a run-through, acknowledging the ones who had succeeded and the ones who had excelled in certain areas and so forth. We trust that he's excelled in some areas. Point is, he's going to graduate. Do you remember when you walked across that stage? I'm sure that Sherry and Kurt remember it, and some of you others at ASU. And they handed you that little rolled-up thing with a little ribbon around it, and you had that funny little cap. Remember that? You guys in the back, you remember that? Well, I can see we have a lot of college grads here. Matter of fact, we have quite a few. And we have some that didn't even graduate high school. But nevertheless, you can still learn. Relax. But you remember the joy of that? I remember mine. Cap and gown going up, you know, the gold tassel, and walking up there, and members of Westside Bible Church being there, and I was going to get my paper. And somebody yelled out from the audience, I won't repeat it. I think it was Dan Hill. And then I got a big graduation card. It was huge. And it said, "The best Bible teacher and pastor in the world." And then you opened it up, and there was a large picture of Bob Thieme, and it said, who said so? I think that came from Dan Hill also. You know, some of you don't realize that Dan in his younger days was a real renegade. He was a young renegade. Now he's an old renegade. Where are you going to learn? School of Hard Knocks? Are you going to pass the tests? And one of them we mentioned this morning was people testing. That's one of the momentum tests that you will go through. In addition to system testing, in addition to various other testings, we'll get to those when we cover that in detail. But I thought for at least this segment of our study, I would go over these particular passages, because that's one of the biggest problems we have, and that's people. And that's why in verse 12 The Apostle Paul says, and so, which is a simple conclusion of what he's already said, therefore, as those who have been chosen or elect of God, and we are that in Christ, holy and beloved, put on a heart. Put on a heart? Yes, put on a heart. In other words, put on something that is not normal for the average person. Put on something that is vastly different than what the unbeliever has available to him. And he begins, and this is actually broken down into two segments. The first is in verse 12. The second is in verse 13. The first segment, and I don't mean by chapter and verse division. No, these are actual segments. There are two different ideas here. Putting on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility. We know that some of these are a part of the progression of the believer. Gentleness and patience. Then the second segment, bearing with one another. The word for bearing is not a word that we're too used to using. How about the word tolerating one another? Is that better? That's probably a better word for at least the time in which we live. We don't usually say bearing with one another. Tolerate one another. And how? By forgiving one another. Even if you have a complaint against anyone. See, it's one thing to have a forgiving heart with regard to your fellow man when there's nothing that has offended you. But let's say you legitimately have, you say, yes, I can be very forgiving, except. You ever heard that? I've had believers actually say to me, you know, there are many things that I can forgive in life, but this one thing I cannot forgive. Well, we're going to have a model by which we are to decide on what basis can we forgive others. You see it, don't you, at the end of the verse? Even as Christ forgave us. We would think it insulting for him to be selective, wouldn't we? Or in any way put the degree upon his forgiveness. Well, I'll forgive you for this and this and this and this and that and this and this, but I'm not sure. No, not that one. You know, of course, that if he did not forgive us of all sin, none of us would have the right or privilege to have entrance into heaven. One sin would keep you out. A half a sin, a quarter of one, a sixteenth. One little mental attitude sin could keep you out if it was counted against you. But God has forgiven us of what? All sin. Again, the model of how we're to treat one another. People testing. And it is expected, especially amongst believers. Especially amongst believers. Have you ever said a nasty thing about a fellow believer? Nah, you don't do that, right? Have you ever held a mental attitude sin about some believer? Have you ever passed on information that was far from just information? It was gossip, malicious. Does that go along with this? Is that a part of this passage? And remember, folks, I didn't write this. Your argument is not with me. Don't run up here and tell me that I don't know the trouble you've seen. Because I'll sing Old Man River back to you. I don't really care. All I know is that these verses speak as loud to me as they should to you. Or even louder to you. There are many times in our lives when we have little or no compassion for our fellow believers. You know, there's a tendency that they say that if you do something enough times and you just keep on doing it, it automatically spills over into other areas of your life. We've been dealing with the doctrine of happiness. This is still a part of it. A happy person tends to be happy not just selectively. You notice how some people can be happy A lot of the time? Huh? My wife and my daughter were out today. One of my daughters. I have nine. No, I only have... I have three. And as they were doing what they were doing, the people that they were involved with said, "You two are a comedy act. You belong in Vegas somewhere." So they said, "We've been there." And they're a comedy act. Both of them. Now you get Gary and I together and we're old sober sides. But see, we have to have that enlightenment. God is so marvelous, isn't he? He'll take a complete dud and put him next, a partner that is just an effervescent, overflowing, bubbly type personality. You need to have that because there's a balance there, you see. So if you have a very effervescent, happy, smiling type wife, you know what you are. Very rarely did two bubbles get together. I think what happens, they have a tendency to burst each other, you know. Hee, 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 ha, 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 pop, pop, you know, that sort of thing. So what you need is a kind of a hee, hee, hee over here and over there, see. Don't you think? Well, as I look at some of you, I think we're right on. Generally, it's the male of the species that's and the female of the species, but not always. Sometimes you get a very, you know, real funny, humorous, sense of humor type male, and he needs it. I will never question God's choices under right man, right woman. He knows what's best. Don't you ever say, "Boy, I'm glad that's not my husband, wife. Not for you anyway. Belongs to someone else. It's God's choice for somebody else." That's why it's so important, young people, to wait on the Lord. He's got somebody out there for you. The right person. The exact person. I know. Until you find that person... You ever hear of hell on earth? Yeah, that's what marriage can be without the right person. And I know some of you, you're nodding your heads. You know, you've been there. Hell on earth. See, the closest thing you'll ever get to the lake of fire, marriage. Or the greatest thing, it can be like heaven in some respects. Oh, she's not perfect. He's not perfect. God knows exactly what he's doing. And he knows where that person is running around. And by the way, if you stay single all your life, God's telling you something. He just missed you, that's all. No. He didn't miss you. He just couldn't find anyone that would be the counterpart of your personality. Well, you better stay single. And it's better for some to stay single. Don't ever get discouraged. Don't let anyone, listen, including you parents, when your children are growing, don't say, you're 21 years old. Why don't you get married? Hey, relax. Relax. I never want to hear this, well, you're going to end up an old maid and all that business. Some of the greatest people that ever walked the face of the earth were unmarried, and rightfully so. Some of the greatest instructors of children were unmarried. They were not encumbered with a man or a woman. Relax. That's not a part of our study, but it might be a test for some of you. But don't do it like that young woman came to me one time, you know, blinking and blushing, and she says, "Do you think I have the gift of celibacy?" And I said, "Sweetheart, how would I know that?" So I grabbed her. No, I said to her, "Do you like..." Relax. I said, "Do you like the male of the species?" And she, "Yes." I said, "You don't." A person with a gift of celibacy has no attraction whatever for the opposite number. So if you do, you don't. Okay? But you say, "When?" Relax. Somewhere out there. She might be breathing miasma right now, but she's out there somewhere. Relax. She might be just getting off the boat. What boat? Who knows? The circumstances in which people meet each other, absolutely phenomenal. You could never arrange it that way. Even if you could predict it. Say, why are you even dealing with this? Because of verse 18. Just drop your eyes down there if you would. You see, somebody has said to me, I cannot subordinate myself to a man. But then she said with the next breath, and it was so true, I suppose I could if he was the right man. Exactly. Hey, ladies, you marry the wrong guy. You can't subordinate to him. He's a cluck. Now, your right man may be one too, but you can subordinate to him. Okay. Back up to verse 14. To 13 again. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. There's the standard by which we as believers treat each other. And you ought to be thankful, and I ought to be thankful, that God doesn't say, all right, on the basis of your willingness to treat others and to forgive others, that will be the basis the next time you come to me under the principles of confession. I will forgive you. How do you like that? You know, two can play that game, he'll say. Say, no, he won't. Of course he won't. I'm dramatizing, obviously. When are we going to learn that our treatment of other people is commanded in the Scripture based on our relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? So it can only bring a simple conclusion. You've got to be out of fellowship and terribly out of the will of God not to have a forgiving spirit with regard to your fellow believer. And what happens then, you see, it begins to spill out into your life in other areas. You don't hold a grudge. Some of you still hold a grudge. I know you do. Some of you hold a grudge against me. That's your problem, not mine. Because I shook that off long ago. I cannot go through life with the burdens of stupid people. Someone told me here, well, I had a problem with you, but I took care of that. You should have never had a problem with me to begin with, because I'm not a problem. Shouldn't have problems with people. They become a test, pass it. If it's someone who has offended you, relax, move on, you don't have the time. One of the best advice that I heard, and it was just recent. It was actually a review on how a well-known Bible teacher of prophecy was speaking the other day regarding the fact that apparently he's going through some flack from someone. He didn't mention who. But Hal Lindsey was talking about how should he react to opposition in his ministry. And so he says, I'll never forget what my pastor of Baraka Church said to me many years ago. He says, you've got to have the hide of an alligator. You know what that means? You can't hardly penetrate an alligator's hide. Thick-skinned. We walk around with this little thin skin. Now, the older you get in Christ, the thinner your hide becomes. And yet it's not the thicker your hide becomes. And it's not outward. Because in a woman, we don't really see an attractive looking woman with a thick hide. Oh, here comes old alligator face. No. The beauty takes over. The beauty takes over because the inner beauty overrides what's lacking. And I don't care who you are in this auditorium, you lack. Because none of us are perfect.
But inner beauty will take over that every time. And the one way you develop inner beauty and inner stability is to have that alligator hide. You don't get offended by people unless you're thin-skinned. And then you complain about it. You're a whiner. I didn't say whino. I said whiner. Constantly implacable, never satisfied, complaining and griping about everything. As we used to say in the service, bitch, 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 bitch. Which being translated as bitch, 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 bitch. Complain, 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 complain. Doesn't that get annoying after a while when you hear a person like that? Oh, stifle it, dry up. Get a life, give it up. Smile. And you see, that is so contrary to Christian living. This is the model for the Christian life. Look at verse 14. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You know, that used to bother me. You say, why? Because I can never understand what this perfect bond of unity had to do with these things. Well, let me give you the answer. It's the perfect bond of unity of these things. What things? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing one another, forgiving one another. They all bond together. And they're looked upon scripturally as a package. You see, I'm sure this is what some of you do. Well, I'm kind, but I'm not very humble. I'm not very gentle, but I'm compassionate. Patience, eh. Putting up with other people, no. See, because that goes with impatience. Tolerating, no, 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 no. Forgiving one another, yeah, if I like them. Or if they're willing to forgive me. Aren't you glad that we are not living under that principle, which is biblical, by the way, which is forgive others as they are what? Willing to forgive you? Or the other way around? Either way, what a standard. How would you like to be under the rule that you would only be forgiven when you are willing to forgive others? There's a good dispensational thought for you. Those of you that want to live under the law. Now, under grace, all this is looked upon as a package. You'll notice, too, that we have almost the same phrase used in Philippians by the apostle, or Galatians rather, as a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And that used to bother me. Why did it bother you? Because it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are, and you have a long list. It says the fruit of the Spirit is, and then you have a long list. And I kept saying, now I know the Bible is grammatically correct. Well, it was. What is the implication? That these things work together. They are inseparable. Because the fruit of the Spirit comes from a single source, the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't produce only part of these things in the life of the believer. They all combined. And in this case, what is the combination? What is the bonding agent? What is the catalyst? Love. And we know that, of course, being the sphere of love, the encapsulated environment of the believer, and then the result, the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts. Well, that's our challenge for this evening. Let's pray you're dismissed. Thank you, Father, that we have the potentiality for this life. We know that we can't be any more saved than we are, because that occurred at the moment of salvation. We were ready at that point to enter into thy presence. And yet thou hast left us here. And now we're beginning to understand all these instructions for our benefit, that we might glorify Thee. Dismiss us now, we ask, in Christ's name, amen.